of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of a stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love.
Good evening. We've got some amazing people that work our AV equipment around here. I know we probably don't see them very often, but they do a lot of work for us and help us out a great deal. I just flipped on my mic during that last song to find that the batteries were dead. And Tim switched them out in about 5 seconds while I was over there, so thank you for that. I also want to thank everyone for your words of concern, as I apparently am unable to function as an adult while my wife is gone. And I appreciate you checking in on me and offering me words of comfort and support during that time. Thank you for that. Go ahead and open up your Bibles to James chapter 3. You've heard several times over the past, we have preached and taught and worked together as a group to further our efforts as evangelists and as teachers. We have prayed about that. We have worked on that. We have taught on that. The elders have seen fit to put the teachers here at the congregation through a teacher training class, which I'm excited about taking next trimester. There's a lot of good things going on at this congregation to help us become better teachers of God's Word. And that's what I want to talk about this evening, is the work of a teacher. Teachers are talked about a lot in Scripture and in varying ways. And we're going to look, generally speaking, at some of the ways that the Holy Spirit talks to us in regards to the roles and responsibilities of teachers. And the goal this evening is to do nothing more than to give you some things to take home and think about, pray about, meditate upon as you evaluate how you're working in the kingdom of God as a teacher or as an evangelist. There's three things that I want us to consider this evening as we look at the work of a teacher. And the first one is found in James chapter 3. Read with me the first two verses. Chapter 3. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. We're going to start this evening talking about teachers with a warning to teachers. James here starts chapter 3 by saying, let not many of you become teachers. And as you look through the majority of chapter 3, you will see why that warning is given. At the risk of sounding overly simplistic, I'm just going to say it. When you take on the role of teaching, you talk more than those you are teaching. And as James goes on in chapter 3, the point of James chapter 3 is to warn us of the stumbling block that our own tongues can become. Therefore, when we talk more, we are putting ourselves in a perilous situation. We are putting ourselves in a situation in which we open the door for greater possibility to stumble, greater possibility to speak error, greater possibility to mislead others. It's not something to be taken lightly. James here says, let not many of you become teachers because not many of you can control the tongue. Be careful if you decide to take on that role. You are taking on the responsibility of putting yourself in a position of influence. Souls are going to be at risk based on what you say and what you teach. This is not something to be taken lightly. In the case of the teacher, the tongue is now not only a potential stumbling block to him or her, it is now a potential stumbling block to those that he or she is teaching. James describes the tongue as something that can start an entire forest fire, as something that can steer an entire ship. It's a powerful, powerful tool. But if you're going to take on the role as teaching, the warning here is that you first must learn to bridle your tongue. You must be careful with what you're saying and what you're teaching. It's not something to be taken lightly. Dave read for us from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. And in that passage, we see that the ability to teach, the opportunity to teach, the role of a teacher there is a gift given to us from God. But it is not something to be forced. It is not something that everyone should haphazardly take part in. It is a gift given by God. It should not be forced on people, but in the same light, it is not a gift that can or should be ignored. You see, the gifts that God gives to his children are gifts that, when used properly, allow the body of Christ to function at the highest levels of efficiency. And so if someone is ignoring or not utilizing a gift that God has given to them, we see in Ephesians chapter 4, the result of that is that the body of Christ is not going to function at its best. And vice versa, if someone is trying to force a role that they are not equipped to handle, there are not only going to be ramifications personally, but there are going to be ramifications upon the body of Christ. Teaching is something to take seriously. Teaching is something to give much thought and prayer to. And if you choose to take on that role, if you see that as a gift that has been given to you, don't take that responsibility lightly. Turn with me over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy chapter 1 is where I'm going to take our second point from. We're going to read verses 3 through 7 of 1 Timothy chapter 1, but I particularly want you to pay attention when we get down to verse number 7. 1 Timothy 1, beginning in verse 3. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes, rather than godly edification, which is in faith. Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk. Verse number 7, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. Paul here is writing to Timothy, whom he left in Ephesus. And the picture that we see Paul painting for us here is that there are people in Ephesus who sincerely desire to be teachers of God's word. But there's one big problem. They don't even know the law themselves. And as a result, they are leading others astray because of their own lack of understanding. You see, teachers not only have a responsibility to take this role seriously, they also have a responsibility to know their stuff. These teachers in Ephesus were doing a great deal of damage to the work that Paul and others had done. Not because they lacked a zeal, not because they lacked motivation, but because they hadn't spent the time to know the material themselves. We can't teach something that we don't know. In Hebrews chapter 5, the Hebrew writer there elaborates on this point. In Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse number 12, it says there, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." If you're still learning the first principles, if you're still in that milk stage, focus on that. Focus your efforts and your time and your energy on learning those things and developing your understanding and developing your knowledge. But don't start trying to go and teach others until you yourself feel comfortable with the understanding of the Scriptures. Oftentimes we try and force things or rush things before they're ready. If you're considering being a teacher, that's a great work. And that's something that I hope many of you will aspire to do in some form or fashion. But if you're still in the stages where you're still learning, you're still partaking of the milk, the basic principles of the Scriptures, don't rush that process. Come to a full and complete understanding of what God wants from you and what God has told you through His Scriptures. And at that point, you'll feel much more comfortable and much more confident, much more prepared to go and tell the good news to others. Albert Einstein once said, "If you can't explain it simply, you don't understand it well enough." There's a lot of truth in that. There are some parts of the Scriptures that are admittedly harder than others. Peter says just that in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 16. Towards the conclusion of his epistle there, he says, "As also in all his letters," speaking of the epistles that Paul had written, "as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures, to their own destruction." There are aspects of the Scriptures that are difficult to understand. There are aspects of the Scriptures that are going to take a great deal of time and energy to fully understand. That's okay. The inspired writer acknowledges that much himself. These things are difficult, and that's okay. But don't put yourself in a more precarious situation by trying to teach these difficult subjects before you yourself understand them. Do yourself a favor. Do those who are going to be at your feet listening a favor by taking the time to learn and understand what it is you're going to teach. And finally, we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, as we look at our last point this evening, and that is that one of the responsibilities of a teacher, one of the responsibilities of a Christian, for that matter, is to maximize our abilities. In Matthew chapter 25, we find there the parable of the talents, and there is admittedly a lot of different applications that you can make to this great parable that Jesus told. But I think it applies to what we're talking about this evening. It's a fairly lengthy parable. We're not going to read the entirety of it, but begin with me in verse number 15 of Matthew chapter 25. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. There's 2 things that I want us to take away from this parable this evening. The first is that we're each blessed by God, and we're each blessed by God in different ways. We're blessed by God with different abilities. We're blessed by God with different talents. We're blessed by God with different opportunities. But as with these servants, it's our responsibility, our individual responsibility, to take whatever ways that we are blessed, to take whatever abilities we have been given, and to maximize them, to squeeze every ounce out of the abilities that you and I have been given. God expects us to make the most of what he entrusts to us. What's interesting about this parable is that the reward that was given to the first 2 servants was not dependent upon the blessings that were given to them. The reward was dependent upon what they did with the blessings that were given to them. What did the Lord say to the servant who brought him 10 talents upon his return? Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. What did the master say to the servant who brought to him 4 talents? Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. You see, the reward was the same. They brought back to him different amounts, but the reward was the same. Why is that? Because the reward wasn't dependent upon the blessings that they were given. The reward was dependent upon what they did with those blessings. Each one of us are blessed in different ways. We're blessed with different talents. And specifically talking about teaching this evening, we're each blessed on different levels with our abilities to teach. And if I spend my time looking at someone else who is a better teacher than I am, feeling envious about that, feeling self-conscious about that, wishing that I had their abilities instead of mine, then I'm going to be like the 1 talent man who, when the Lord returns, I'm going to say, here's what you gave me. You can have it back now. But if I take whatever talents and whatever abilities that the Lord has given to me, and I spend the time that he gives me on this earth, squeezing every ounce out of those abilities, then when the Lord returns, I'm confident that I'm going to hear the same blessing that those first two servants heard. There is some introspection that has to take place as we look inwardly to see the ways in which God has blessed us. Take time to do that. Pray that God will help you to see the ways that he has blessed you and the abilities that he has given to you. And once you recognize those, once you find those, you spend every chance you get, every opportunity that you have, to maximize whatever ability is given to you. That's the man or woman that God will be proud of. That's the man or woman that will hear those blessed words when the Lord returns. Teaching is a very important task. Evangelizing, taking the gospel to lost souls, is something that each Christian must be prayerful about. Each Christian must diligently work on developing their skills in those areas. It's not something to be taken lightly. We must dedicate ourselves to becoming better Bible students and developing a better understanding of the truth. And we must work each day to fulfill the abilities that our Lord has given to us. One day, each one of us will stand before our Lord and we'll be held accountable for what we have taught, and we'll be held accountable for what we did with the abilities that God has given to us. I know this hasn't been a lesson specific to the plan of salvation or to repentance. But before we close this evening, as we always do, I want to extend the Lord's invitation to anyone who is here who recognizes this evening that their relationship with God is not what it should be and not what they want it to be. Maybe some of the things you've been studying on your own, or maybe some of the things you've been studying in your Bible classes, have pricked your heart and are shining a pretty bright spotlight on some shortcomings in your life. If that's the case, this entire day has been a gift from God to give you the opportunity to repent. To give you the opportunity to ask God to forgive you. And if you haven't become a Christian, to give you the opportunity to make that decision this evening to have your sins washed away and to become a child of his. So if we can help you in any way to make that decision, please let us know by coming to the front while we stand and sing.